Father, I thank you, Lord. This morning I give you the glory and the praise. We thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We pray that that's the case with us today, and let that shine light, the light from your word shine in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you really, I invite you to listen to the full message, if you get a chance, but I wanted to share, some part of it, with you on this platform today. And we, the message that we preached at the church yesterday was, ready to slay a giant. Grab your sling and a few stones and some stones. So I want to talk about, that a little bit. But first, let me just say that the Lord is always faithful. And we invite everybody to rejoice, encourage you to rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord every day. Let's rejoice, you know. And you get up in the morning, rejoice in that faithfulness, because even the 24 elders, they've been there for a long time. And they can tell you, if you listen to them, that they have never seen him fail. That's why they're there. They've seen all of his goodness. And as they're around the throne, they are a cloud of witnesses. Praise the Lord. He's never failed us. And God bless everybody today. Praise the Lord. You know, the story of David and Goliath is a popular story. Everybody knows it. And one of the things I brought out from the lesson yesterday at the church was that this story should not be perceived as a Sunday school story for kids. Because, you know, that's the way, unfortunately, that's the way most people see it. Some story. Ask some kids, what story do you like the best in the Bible? They tell you about David and Goliath, cartoons and all kinds of things made about it. And so we just pass it off as though it was just some story for kids. But there are a lot of things to be understood from that story. And our perspective, which we haven't often talked about or considered, was the perspective I brought out yesterday. I want to share some of it with you. And the Lord gave us a powerful service. And we even saw someone that was deaf in one ear. I was prayed for, and she began to hear out of that ear. And the Lord is just showing us his mercy and goodness, you know, right there instantaneously. So we give God the praise and give God the glory. Now I want to talk about the sling and the stones that David picked up. You know, that was the perspective that I shared at the church today. And in case you have not had the privilege, I know Brother Shadrach, he posted something on how you can see that. But if you haven't seen it or heard it, I'm going to share it with you right now. You all know the story when it was time for him to go up against Goliath, how that the king tried to help him out with all kinds of things. You know, put on him his armor, his helmet, tried to give him his sword, his shield and everything. And, you know, David tried to move. He couldn't. All that stuff was uncomfortable for him and perhaps even too heavy. So he left and I'll be right back. He went to a brook, and that's a place where he's comfortable, you know. Go back to that place. That's that place where, you know, the Lord, he said, the Lord, he leads me beside the still waters. So he went right there. And, you know, he was communing in his heart with the Lord. He knew in his heart that he's going to bring down that giant. Because he remembered, you know, he even told the king, look, you know, I've been through some impossible situations before. With the a lion that took a kid from the flock. How I went after him and I slew him and delivered the kid from his mouth. You know, another time a bear rose up against me, and when he rose up against me like that, pounded his chest, he was as big and perhaps even bigger than this Goliath that you see here. You know, but the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. The hand of the bear, the Lord will also deliver me out of this, the hand of this Philistine. I was come here today to defy the armies of the living God. So David was fighting in the name of the Lord, fighting for the Lord as well, too. He knew it. Others were saying armies of Israel, David. While they were saying armies of Israel, David was saying armies of the living God. Well, if the Lord, if you are in the Lord's army and the Lord is your captain, then you know you're going to win. Praise the Lord. You may or may not win if it's just the armies of Israel. But if it's armies of the living God, well, I'm sure that, he's going to win. So, I'm going to keep this brief and pointed. The sling. You know, and someone stepped up to me after the service and said, you know, they said, well, you know, been wondering about that for a long time. They said they have even been meditating on it lately. I mean, you know, say, well, never thought of it that way. I said, well, the sling and the stones. You wouldn't think that those would be powerful weapons that David could use against Goliath. Goliath had his stature going for him. He had a helmet. He had his armor. He had a shield. Even had a shield bearer. I mean, you know, had this large sword. And he had a track record and, you know, his reputation. And people were afraid of him. He was a legend. I've heard all the things that he had done in the countries around. How nobody had ever been able to stand before him. But the whole time, you know, when people were saying that, and even the king was saying that, you can't go up against this man. Have you heard all the things that he had done? I mean, he's been a warrior from his youth. You know, how old are you? He said, well, even from before this man was even, I mean, younger than you, he's been a warrior. And look at him now. Look at how. Nobody can face him. And David said, well, you never met my God. Hallelujah. That's it. You know. And that is the attitude that we must have in the face of the giant that you're facing. And it is nonetheless a real giant. It was a real threat. In fact, he threatened them every day. Wow. Why do we need to have a lot of bloodshed? He said. Am I not a man just like you? Well, you know, choose you a captain, you know, among your troops. And let he alone come out with me alone. And let us play before the people. You know, we don't need everybody put to the battle and a lot of lives lost. One life on each side. If he kills me, well, then we will all be your servants. But if I kill him, then y'all will be our servants. And in his mind, he had the advantage because of his stature. I mean, nobody else. See, he was using a weapon of fear and threat. You know, so put fear in the hearts of the people because he was had an imposing, you know, he was an imposing figure, imposing stature. And all of the things that he had done, You know, his resume was miles long of all the, you know, places where he had destroyed people. Well, David had two things going for him. Well, remember the testimony of the against the lion? You remember the testimony against the bear? I said, look, God have prepared me for this moment. I have been in a situation with something as big as this man. That bear was as big as this guy. In fact, even bigger when he rose up against me like that. So he went down to the brook. And as he was there in his mind, just, you know, saying, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is, you know, my light, you know, that's my salvation. You know, whom shall I be afraid? And so forth. And he was just saying that to himself. I'm not going to be afraid of the giant. It's nothing. You know, I've got the Lord on my side. Angel of the Lord was right there with him. Showed him a few stones, smooth stones to pick. You know, I call those stones. See, and here's the lesson I want to share with you today. So what we shared at the church yesterday. I call those stones the promises of God. And I call this sling your faith. See, you got to take the promises of God with your faith and hurl it in the face of the giant. Now, it could be a giant of illness or sickness or whatever. I'm sure you can find some promises in the Word of God. At the church, I even gave out a few promises. I said, well, these are samples. I mean, I'm sure you can find five. There is nothing that you are facing that you will not find five promises in the Word of God. And I also said, if you don't find it, if it's not in the Word of God, then you don't want it. You know, but God has given provision, has given specific promises. He has even given what you might call catch all promises. In other words, you know, Matthew 21:22, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's a catch all promise. It's right there. You know, you take that in combination with a few other specific things. You know, if you're looking for healing, you look at Exodus 15:26. That says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, you know, you find a few other promises. You look at the prophecy of Isaiah, what he said about the Christ, you know, how through not only his stripes, but also his beatings, we have both peace and healing. You look at that in the book of Isaiah. You quote it to yourself. Well, basically where I said it, put it in your pocket. Pick up those stones and put it in his shepherd's pouch. He armed himself with a few promises like that, you know. And listen to this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. When you're looking for peace in the midst of trouble and chaos, get a hold of that verse right there. Jesus already paid the price for your peace. And then, you know, the scars that those beatings left on him were for your healing. The beatings themselves were for your peace. You know, people forget that. You know, you take a hold of that. Isaiah 53:5. You take a hold of 1 Peter 2:24. You know, who himself bear, you know, all these things, you know, us by whose stripes we are healed. You know, now say actually were healed. Which now he puts it in the past tense. And you grab those promises. Remember our Faith Lab instructions. Always search the scriptures first for a promise. persuade yourself that he who promised is faithful. Embrace that promise for that particular situation and then begin to use the word. Begin to confess it. That's our faith specs. And many of you remember that. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15 that says the Lord will take away the sickness, from thee. All sickness. Hallelujah. So you put all these, you pick up all these smooth stones. Why didn't he pick the rough stones? Well, because the Lord said, I will go before you and make straight the crooked places. I will make smooth the rough places. And I look for those smooth promises that bring comfort and assurance. You put them in your pouch. Hallelujah. And you'll find more than five. All you need really is one. But you can find five, my goodness, one time, the Lord, he was showing us how that, when you have more, it's better. He said, what? One will chase a thousand, and two will chase 10,000. Then what about five? So you find one promise of God that can chase 1,000. Two of them will chase 10,000. Well, what about five? Orders of magnitude. Now you take these promises. Well, you take a hold of a promise, such as Jeremiah 30 and 17. It says, I am the Lord and I will restore health unto you and I will heal you of your wounds. You just find these promises. Now, it may not be healing. Those are just examples. It could be anything. Anything. What time I'm afraid? The psalmist said, I will praise him in his word. He uses his word. When you're afraid, you encourage yourself. You look at scriptures and you see the things, like Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When you are afraid, you find promises like that. You grab them, you put them in your pouch. when you found enough promises to assure yourself of what the Lord has given to back you up in that situation, then you're ready. You pick up your sling. That's your faith. See? You're going to use your faith to catapult those promises in the face of the giant. You're not going to back down. You're going to throw those promises. The arrow of God's deliverance. Praise the Lord. In the book of Genesis chapter 49 verse 24, this is an additional benefit for you. I didn't even give this verse yesterday. Just to show to you that those stones can represent, the word of God or the power of the Lord himself. And listen to how, this wonderful verse reveals it. Praise the Lord. So let's read it for ourselves. And so it's a beautiful thing that's going on here that Jacob is doing. Later on, we're told that Jacob was leaning upon his staff. He blessed all his sons. A beautiful thing. The whole of Genesis 49 here. He said, ye sons of Jacob, gather together. I'm going to bless you. And hearken unto Israel, your father. I began to, one by one, he began to put a blessing on them. And everything he said, just like he said, that indeed was the case. At that moment, or prophesying the future of his sons. It was a blessing. It was great what he did. When he got down to Joseph, he said, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Verse 22. Even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him. They shot at him and they hated him. But his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong. by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Those stones right there, they are prophetic. They represent, you know, the strength of the Lord in his promises. You know how to get a hold of those promises. You know, put them in your pouch, grab your faith, and begin to throw it at the face of the devil. Well, that is how you kill and finish off the giant. That's how you do it. Praise God. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7 and verse 12, you see, you know, something that the prophet was doing here to establish, you know, what we, you know, I mean, we now, you know, talk about Ebenezer, Stone of Health, and all these things, you know, but every time, you know, that the Philistines, you know, came up against the children of Israel, well, there were times when the children of Israel were afraid, and they cried to Samuel and said, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of these Philistines. So Samuel, you know, is going to offer a sacrifice. He took a suckling lamb, we're told, offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. He did not even divide it, just offered the whole thing. And that's verse 9 of 1 Samuel 7. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, see, the Philistines, they drew near to battle against Israel. Well, the Lord thundered with a great thunder upon those Philistines that day and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, you know, our stone of help, because the Lord has helped us. So you see references to what these stones might mean, you know, and so those stones, those are the promises of God. Always do your due diligence. David did not hurry to the battle until he had found the stones and he had picked up his sling, and then he was ready. So you got to find those promises. Take your time. And once you got it, put those promises in your pouch. You know, and one of the ones that are most powerful that we need to use more and more is the word of your testimony, as it is spoken in Revelation 12:11. And I've been trying to get people to do this more and more. People still don't get it. Well, you need, it is a weapon when you use it during the battle. That's when it's a weapon. You can prepare yourself for the battle and gather your weapon. David was preparing himself, gathering the stones, checking out his sling, putting the stones in his pouch, grabbing his shepherd's staff and ready. Well, and in the battle, in the face of the battle, he's giving his testimony right there. He said, you come against me with shield and spears and all these things, you know, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, whose armies you have defied. And he told him what he's going to do too. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you testify, you throw those things in the face of the giant. You take the word of God, hallelujah, you take the scriptures, and then all the negative doctor's reports, science reports, and everything. You take the word of God and your faith. Your faith, well, it can be a powerful slingshot. I mean, the sling that David had in those days was not even as powerful as slingshots that we can have today. Technology, has improved a lot of that. But nonetheless, you take that word of God and you wrap your faith around it. And by faith, you throw that. It's like the arrow. It becomes an arrow of God's deliverance. In the 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 17, we see a reference to the arrow of God's deliverance. Well, that sling can become like that in your hand. When the prophet said shoot and he shot, I'm gonna tell you today to shoot and let's see if you can shoot some smooth stones with your faith in the face of the giant. And when he shot, he called it the arrow, of the Lord's deliverance. And shoot. And you can shoot like that. And by faith. And don't shoot once and stop. The prophet was angry with the king of Israel, because he only shot once and he stopped. So why? Thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. See? Again, see that number 5 there. Shoot only once. Well, pick up 5 powerful promises and shoot them daily at the devil. And you're going to wipe him out. Bring him down. Praise the Lord. The arrow of God's deliverance. Sometimes when people, don't have time or the ability to carry around bow and arrows, well, a slingshot may just do in the hand of someone that's skilled, like this, young shepherd boy. He couldn't be carrying bow and arrows and so forth, so all he had was just, a sling. And you can make a sling from anything real quickly, just make a sling. Something that you can even take a scarf, and twist it and put a stone in it and fling it. I mean, swing it around like that and throw it. It can become a sling, even though it's not a real slingshot, So when you don't have time, in the face of difficulties and different things to go look for, physical weapons, well, there should always be some spiritual weapons with you, and you can always pull out your faith. Your spiritual weapons should be the promises of God. Every one of us should know those things and do your research and always have them in your pocket, ready to pick one out and use it at any time. And after you pick the first one up, go beyond that and pick the next one and use it again. Pick the next one. If the first stone doesn't bring down the giant, in this case, the Lord allowed that first stone to bring him out. But if yours, you throw that first stone, doesn't bring out the giant, well, throw the next one and keep throwing it, until he comes down. So we must learn how to do that. So that was the lesson I was sharing with the church yesterday. But in that atmosphere, powerful. I hope you can get a, experience some part of it today. In a moment, I'm going to tell you to shoot. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to take down one giant at a time. Many giants. And those Philistines, I guarantee you, they never went away. They would go away for a while and they would regroup. They would say to themselves, well, quit ye like men. Don't let these, Israelites boss you around. Be strong. gather yourselves, bestir yourself, and then they go back again. You whack them and they come up again. You whack them and they come up, and you keep whacking them. You know, so I mean, you may finish off one giant today, and maybe another one will rise tomorrow. But the devil is like that. Jesus himself told it. And so when an evil spirit is gonna, you know, he wanders around in dry places and finding no rest, he returneth and checks out the place. He finds the place is clean and garnished and empty, because that person did not fill themselves with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Then he said, wow. And he goes and looks for seven more wicked spirits than even himself. Come in there, and you know, the last state is worse than the first for that guy. So Jesus knows that the devil, even for Christ, when he was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, after he overcame the devil with the word, the Bible says, and Satan departed from him for a season. It's always a season. And he'll try to come back again, again and again. I came back, you know, tried to dissuade him from going to the cross through Peter. You know, Peter said, well, you will not go to the cross. You know that God sent you to do this and that and so on. And was trying to dissuade him. Be far from you, Lord. You will not go to the cross. Jesus immediately recognized the devil was back. He dealt with that as well. You know, so you deal with him today. You deal with him tomorrow. And the next day after that. You know, it's a constant battle. But you are also constantly winning. You know, don't let the devil win a single fight. You know, it's not, you know, you go 12 rounds or you go 12 fights and you win 11 and he wins one. No. The Bible says that Jesus in 1 John 3 and 8 was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And his works were destroyed already, because Jesus said, again, in John 19 and 30, it is finished. So he concluded that. In fact, if you read further in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, now, one of the powerful weapons that Satan uses, the devil, is fear. And even fear of death, he uses that. And it puts people in bondage their whole lifetime. And this scripture explains it. He said, for as much then, Hebrews 2, I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. One time I told you that devil is already disgraced, disarmed, dethroned, defeated, and destroyed. And this scripture tells us that, you know, Jesus, through his death, the plan was that he might destroy him that had the power of death. And when he was on that cross and said, it is finished, well, did he do it? If he said it's finished, well, yeah. Well, so you see here that devil been destroyed. But, you know, his time is not quite yet to be cast into that lake of fire. So even though it's already done, he still can roam around a bit and try to fool the careless ones and the ignorant ones that don't know that they already have the victory in Christ, and they will still try to fool them. But see, Jesus, through his death, delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. Well, it's not just the fear of death. It's fear of one thing or the other that you think the devil will bring on you. Death being the last enemy. In fact, scripture says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So the devil uses these weapons of fear to put people in bondage their entire life. Well, enough of that already. So we're going to take our faith, well, you know, I say, well, suit up. Praise God. It's time for you to suit up. Every day you must suit up. You know, our first responders, they know how to suit up. You know, when that alarm sounds, they got to suit up. They got to do very, very quickly. Well, actually, we must be suited up all the time. Put on the whole armor of God, the Bible says. But just in case you didn't, well, when situation arises, then you must suit up. You know, take your faith, which is your sling. You know, find a few promises, which are like those smooth stones. And then come out to the battlefield against that giant. Don't back down. David never backed down. In fact, David was so confident in that battle because of what he had seen the Lord do. And this is part of the lesson we should learn from that story. It's not just a Sunday school kid story. Has the Lord wrought some deliverance for you in the past in situations that were humanly impossible? Can you go up against a lion in a hand-to-hand combat and get the prey out of his mouth? Can you do it? Well, if the Lord gave you the victory in that situation, well, that ought to give you some confidence. And so we need to look back and see, what are the victories that the Lord already gave you? I mean, the children of Israel were always lacking in that area. I mean, this was God that delivered them with a mighty and high hand out of the land of Egypt. Signs and wonders and different things that Moses threw down in that place by the power of God. And then even the singular, most spectacular miracle in that Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea, they experienced it. But no sooner they experienced all of that in, you know, Exodus chapter 14, they experienced all of that. In Exodus chapter 15, they're already grumbling. See, they forget. But David never forgot. David said, I will remember the Lord from the land of Mizpah. You know, I will remember, you know, the things that the Lord did, you know, like, you know, this story we just read in Samuel, you know, how the Lord turned that upon the Philistines. David remembered how the Lord, even his own personal testimony, not just the ones he had read, you know, that's the one he had read, but even the ones that he experienced himself, and he made it so personal. I mean, all his testimonies about the Lord were very personal. My God, my fortress, my shield, my deliverer, my high tower, my buckler, everything. He made it personal. I become even my salvation. It's my song. It's my help. You know, it's my shepherd. He's my king. I mean, always said mine. Never just said, you know, belongs to Israel or whatever. Yeah, occasionally he would say, well, the God of Israel, but he is my shield. He is my God, my help. And then, you know, when you can relate to God like that, and then also recount the things that God had done in the past. Now, some of you may be facing, you know, incredible odds right now. The doctor said, well, it's just a matter of time. But nobody survives this sickness. Well, then your answer should be, well, they never met my Jesus. That's right. Because God has given Jesus a name that is above every name. Philippians 2, 5 to 9. Because of how Jesus humbled himself and obeyed the Lord, God highly exalted him, giving him a name that's above every name, that at the sound of that name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Now, if it has a name, well, let medical science tell you the name. That's okay. When you go for that checkup and they give you that horrible bill of health, well, it is that you may know the name. Now that you know the name, that's right. You got knowledge, you got information. You know, that thing cannot hide anymore, because now you know its name. And the name of Jesus is higher than any name, unless the sickness has no name. Well, even then, Jesus' name is still higher. You know, and once you come against that situation in the name of the Lord, remember, David said, in the name of the Lord. See? And he's going to make it about God's fight. He said, look, the people will know that God does not save with spears and shields. You know, and the race is not always to the swift. The battle is not always to the strongest. Well, Goliath was the strongest. There was nobody like him in all the region, you know, all around. I mean, his fame had gone through, and they put fear in the heart of everybody. Well, David was undaunted. He didn't, all that, those things didn't matter to him, because he knew his God. Now, do you know your God? Daniel 11:32, the last half of it says that people that do know their God, what will they do? They will be strong in the face of the giant. And they will do exploits like bringing down that giant. Hallelujah. You got your sling. You got a few smooth stones in your pouch. Well, let's come against some giants in here this morning. Praise the Lord. So that's the lesson that we shared yesterday at the church. And those of you who were there, they knew, you know, it was powerful visitation from the Lord. You know, and we were ready. People were ready, you know, to pick up their faith, pick up a few stones of the brook, you know, and go out against Goliath. That's right. When everybody else is hiding in the corner, see, that's what the scripture says. When people are saying there is a casting down, well, you will be saying there is a lifting up. That's right. According to Job 22, you know, there is always a lifting up when the Lord is with you. He said, the Lord is with me, of whom shall I be afraid? What's the situation that's going to make me fear when the Lord already said, I will be with you? Fear not. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. No. What then is going to make you afraid? Well, what time you're afraid though? Well, go back to his word. That's what the psalmist said. You know, he said, well, you know, when I'm afraid, and there are times when we will be afraid. Now, let's face it. I mean, let's be real. You know, there is no, there is nobody that at one time or the other will not be afraid. We'll be afraid at different times. Well, that's why the Lord said, fear not. Because he knew that, you know, fear has torment. If you allow that fear to get a hold of you, well, you're finished then. Even in the book of Job, chapter 3, verse 25, Job finally admitted that the thing which he has always feared has come upon him. Well, he was always afraid that something bad was going to happen to his children and something bad was going to happen to him. Well, he carried that fear in his heart for a long time. And of course, the devil saw that opening and he took it. Well, don't entertain that fear. It's negative. It has torment. It will destroy, you know, the greatest strength that you think you have. You allow any, you know, fear to come in there. You know, so, but today, let's pick up, grab your sling. Well, that's your faith. Pick up a few stones from the brook. Those are the promises of God. And come up against that Goliath in that situation. You know your situation. I've spoken a great deal about sickness, but it's not about sickness. It's whatever the situation that is overwhelming to you at the moment. You know, some people have immigration problems. Well, that can be your Goliath. Yeah. You know. And the devil said, well, you can't do that. That's not going to happen. Even the government says it's not going to happen. We're going to disinherit you. And we're going to throw you out. You know, and he said, well, you never met my Jesus. The Lord said, you know, everywhere I go, you know, the Lord said to Joshua, every place that the soles of your feet shall tread, there have I given you. You walk up and down on this land, you know. Say, Lord, my soul, the soles of my feet trodden upon this place. I'm not leaving. Nobody is disinheriting me from the inheritance of the Lord. I'll leave if I want to, but I'm not leaving. Praise God. Hallelujah. You stand your ground with the promises of God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, here's a promise for you if you're facing that kind of situation. This is the way, you know, that the psalmist, he was a great man in not only recounting the things that God did for him as a person, but also in recounting the things that God did for God's people. Listen to this in Psalm 44. You know, what he said the Lord did for others. Psalm 44, verses 1 to 3. We have heard with our ears, O God. This is how David prayed. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out from before your people. But, you know, he said, look, the people of the Lord, they got not the land in possession by their own sword. Neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand, O Lord, that's right, and thy arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou had a favor unto them. Now, favor, when the king's favor is upon you, you know, you use that word. You know, this word right here, I say, well, they, you know, God will even, look, he said this to the children of Israel. He said, look, the Lord will put the enemies out before you, tell them to thrust them out, you know, and destroy them. Deuteronomy 33, 27, the eternal God is your refuge. I mean, you find promises like this in the scriptures. Those are the stones that you're going to put in your pouch. And, you know, you take those words underneath are the everlasting arms. If the everlasting arms of the Lord are bearing you up, well, who can pluck you out of his hands? Jesus said, you know, in the book of John chapter 10, verse 27 and so on, he said, look, you know, the Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one can pluck them out of my hand or my Father's hand. You know, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Glory to God. No one can pluck them out of my hand. And the Lord will say to you, know, thrust out the enemy from before you and say, destroy them. Ha! Glory to God. Well, let's destroy a few giants here this morning. The eternal God is our refuge. You can take that and put it in your pocket. Underneath are his everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. The Lord will bruise the devil under your feet. You know, and he will say, destroy them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there are other things that doctor may have told you cannot be done. Well, they never knew your Jesus. This is the Jesus who one time there were 5,000 people. Another time four, another time more, thousands to be fed and no food around anywhere. Well, what did Jesus do? He knew within himself what he would do. And so he asked his disciples, well, give them to eat. And said, well, Lord, you know, there is, where in the world are we going to have food? I mean, you can't be carrying this kind of food around. And even the stores are closed. Even if we had the money. I mean, how much food can we buy to feed all these multitudes? Yeah, but Jesus within himself already knew what he was going to do. He was just checking them out to see if they understood that he was in the situation. You know, when Jesus is in the situation, there's always a solution. Always. Doesn't matter what it looks like. You know, I said, well, you know, Jesus said, what you got? I said, well, you know, there's one little lad here that volunteered the lunch that his mom packed for him. And he's willing to give it up. And he brought it to one of us to say, hey, look. But he said, look, what is that among so many? A little boy's lunch? How are you going to use that to feed 5,000? Well, you never met Jesus. You never put that thing in Jesus' hands. That's why you're asking. Well, once you have figured out that in the hands of Jesus, when he puts a blessing on it, then he puts it right back in your hands. As far as the Lord is concerned, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a little boy's lunch. It doesn't even matter whether it's only, you know, two fishes or two loaves, and five fishes or two fishes and two loaves or five loaves. It doesn't matter. You know, he can take those things, bless it, and put it right back in the hands of the disciples for a great blessing. Because he is the God that said, a little one shall become a thousand. Isaiah 60 verse 22. That's another promise you can take. You know, when the doctor said, well, you don't have enough white blood cells. The doctor had told me that in my life. You don't have enough this, you don't have enough that. This is going to be this, is going to be that. Well, I said, well, a little one shall become a thousand. And a small one as strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Yeah, you know, all he needs is one, and he can do it. All he needs, a little boy's now, whatever you have, what do you have? I said, well, and they put it, they gave it to Jesus. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, I thank you. And he just blessed it and gave it right back to the person that gave it to him. He said, you know, share it among you. Took it, split it into 12, put it in their hands and said, well, you know, set them down in companies and feed them. Now, at that point in time, they had opportunity to still be wondering. And I'm sure they're still wondering, especially the first time, you know, that Jesus did that. They'd be wondering, how in the world am I going to take a handful of some crumbs of bread or fishes and feed 50s? Well, Jesus said, well, set them down in 50s. Because you got to keep believing. After the first 50, you got to believe some more. You know, and as they were dishing out this thing, it was an amazing thing was happening. It was amazing. You know, that was happening. They were dishing out. And whatever was in their hand was not diminishing. It's like, I mean, maybe you only had 2 pieces of bread and 3 or so pieces of fish in your hand, and you're going to give it to 50. Okay. So you take 1 piece of bread and 1 piece of fish, and you give it to the first of the 50. Now, well, you only had, you know, 2 pieces of bread and 3 pieces of fish to start with. You took 1 and 1 out, so you should have only 1 and 2 left, but you see that you still have 2 and 3 left, just like you started. You give again, you see that you still have the same amount that you started with. You give out some more, and you say, and you're looking and say, oh my goodness, what's happening here? What's happening there is a little one becoming a thousand, a small one becoming a great nation. To God, it doesn't matter. The little thing that doctor said cannot be done is not enough. It's more than enough for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, so here's where we are today. Get a hold of those promises. Put them in your pouch. Grab your sling, which is your faith, and let's come out against some Goliath this morning. I'm going to pray, and you're going to pray with me too. You've got the promises of God, and you leave this room today. You go with this lesson every day. Hallelujah. And don't back down from the devil. Never back down. David was not one to back down. Never back down. And here's another thing too to learn. See, the thing that has been, you know, such a hindrance to you that, you know, this was the one thing. I mean, you've had some limited successes in some things, but this one thing, you just can't, you know, you can't win. It seems like, well, think again. You already won. It's just a matter of you knowing how to assert your victory in the Lord. And, you know, God has a way, you know, to bring out the goodness of God for your benefit. You know, that Goliath, well, when the Lord, you know, gave David victory over that Goliath, that was that particular situation that catapulted him into the limelight. Before that, he was not known by anybody. Even his brothers, they always despised him. What are you doing here? Why did you come out to check out the fight? Go home. His oldest brother said, but of course he didn't. And, you know, but the moment he took care of that Goliath, oh my goodness. Everybody knew his name now. You know, everybody, all the women, everybody, you know, begin to sing and do, you know, my goodness. Although, well, eventually put a target on his back, but the Lord, you know, brought him great things because of that victory. You know, so that victory that you are going to have, you know, it's going to do more than just remove that roadblock. He's going to actually catapult you into the limelight because they are going to say, you know, among the hidden and other places, well, see what God has done. You will be saying it and they will be saying it. You know, they will say among the people, see what God has done for them. And you will be saying it, or see what God has done for me. And God is going to use that situation to catapult you into the place where God wants you to be in the first place, which you thought, well, you know, I'm held back. God has many plans and many ways to bring that to pass in your life. So are you ready? See what the Lord has done? Well, you know, I've already seen what the Lord has done by faith, you know, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Well, if you see it, well, you know, then, you know, you latch onto it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read something out of Psalm 126, and then we're going to pray. In the book of Psalm 126, and again, you know, this psalmist, he knew how to write these things. My goodness. Powerful, powerful things that he always wrote. Here's what he said. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, and you know, when the Lord gives you victory over this giant, well, you're going to be like somebody that's dreaming because it looked like a situation that could not be overcome. Well, he said, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the hidden, see, that victory is actually going to bring glory to God in your life. That's right. And people will say, see, you know, what great things the Lord had done for you. Well, and you yourself will be saying it. Well, the Lord has done great things for me, whereof I'm glad. And now, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray us right now. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus to turn again the captivity of your people, even as the streams in the south, Lord, and let the tears of faith that have run down even the eyes and the cheeks of your people over the years, Lord, Father, turn them forth, Lord, into a harvesting of joy. You said in your word, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed and having those smooth stones in his pouch, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves with him. Now, Lord, we come against the Goliaths and the various things that have stood in front of your people ready to devour. And the Lord said, who art thou that I should have afraid of the devourer? You know, as if he was ready to devour. And where is the fury of the oppressor, said the Lord? Because his fury of the oppressor is broken. Now grab your sling. Grab a few promises. And come out against Goliath. And begin to use that word against him. In the name of Jesus. I challenge And I admonish and encourage every one of you, take that challenge today. Hallelujah. Step out and face Goliath with your faith and some promises of God. And begin to fling those promises in his face. The angel of the Lord would direct that stone. He directed it, you know, gave it a force, a propelling force like a rocket. And hit him right between the eyes, the only place in his old armor that was open. And it brought that giant down. Father, we thank you for giants that are coming down in the life of your children. Every day we have giants. You say, well, I did this last week. I do it again today. Praise the Lord. Do it again tomorrow. Glory to God. You know, because you got to keep doing it. You know, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You're going to beat down some giants today. Yeah, through God, we will push down our enemies. For it is him that are giving us the victory. You know, by my God, I run through troops. And by my God, I leap over walls. By my God, I defeated the lion. By my God, I defeated the bear. And by my God, I bring down this Goliath. You give that testimony even while you are still in the battle, the heat of the battle. Don't wait until, you know, the Goliath is defeated. Then you start to give your testimony. Give your testimony. It is a weapon. Overcome the devil by the blood of the lamb and the word of your testimony. It's a weapon. Use it. You testify against that Goliath and bring him down. And I see Goliath come crashing down. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.